This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. In the age of the internet, new music is everywhere. Indie rockers are really great at spreading it to the public. But the same isn't true for classical style music or opera. For the most part, if you want to hear that, you're going to have to check it out at your local symphony orchestra, and you can catch some Beethoven or Wagner or whatever is on that agenda. But New Music Raleigh wants to change that. And you will know how if you hear a performance of the commissioned piece by John Supko at CAM Raleigh on Monday. It's called All Souls, and here to tell us about it is Sean Galvin, curator of New Music Raleigh. Welcome, Sean. Good to have you on.
Thanks
the program.
Frank.
You're also a percussionist in All Souls.
That's right.
John Supko is here as well, the composer and artist behind it. Welcome back, John. Good to have you here.
Thank you, Frank.
Sean, tell us about the idea behind New Music Raleigh.
Well, I moved here with my wife in 2007, and we're both classical musicians. Karen was named Assistant Concertmaster of the North Carolina Symphony, and we've always kind of been inspired by the responsibility as a classical music performer in advancing the kind of the history of classical composition. And it's specifically notable in my craft because as a percussionist, I don't really have the long-standing repertoire that a violinist has. Unfortunately, the other places that I lived before we moved here to the Triangle, the circumstances on the ground weren't as receptive as they were here. So when we came here, the dynamics on the ground, the level of creative talent and the broadness of creative types that live in the Triangle created a circumstance that inspired us to start this project here, and we've been very pleased with the response to it in that short amount of time.
And how would you describe the project?
Well, it's a lot of new music ensembles kind of have a set instrumentation, and then they commission works or find works that kind of fit that instrumentation. We wanted to blow the top off of that mentality, mostly because of the fact that we wanted our organization to be project-based. It allows folks to come to our shows and not hear kind of the same collection of sounds based on that same instrumentation all the time, but also to work incredibly hard to create a big project like we've done with John on All Souls and with our other collaborative partners, the North Carolina Opera and CAM Raleigh on this project, and then to basically just circle the wagons, take it right back from the beginning and ramp up something that's never been done before again. There's nothing that keeps us from doing that at this point.
John Supko, tell us about All Souls. What's behind it?
Well, the genesis of the project was, the novel All Souls Day by Cees Notenboom, a Dutch novelist and poet. I'd worked with him on a piece before in 2007, a piece called Literal. And I'd always wanted to do something with this novel, which concerns a documentary filmmaker who is widowed and has a small has a child and a wife who die in a plane crash, and is still grieving and in mourning, and goes to sort of find a new life, make a new way in the world in Berlin, staying with friends, and he winds up meeting this mysterious younger woman who is a graduate student studying an obscure medieval Spanish queen. She's half Maghreb and half Spanish, and grew up in Holland with her grandparents, and Arthur is the name of the documentary filmmaker. He finds her very alluring and kind of dangerous, and falls in love with her, and the novel treats this romance, but that's only one strain of the narrative. There are others, but that was the strain that I used for the subject matter of my piece.
Well, let's hear a little bit of that piece, All Souls, right now.
My name is Alec.
Alec, what kind of name was that? And from that moment on, it was as if she could never have been called anything else.
My name is Alec.
Alec, of course. A person named Alec was suddenly every inch an Alec. The rough fabric of her dark gray jeans, Alec. The clear, dark brown eyes, Alec.
Alec. That's an unusual name.
My mother made three mistakes. The first was going to bed with the man who became my father.
That's a great line that I'm never going to forget. That's a terrific line. So that's a clip from John Supko's production of All Souls. It's going to be at Cam Raleigh on Monday at 7:30. So there's a storyline. Mm-hmm. How literal is this? And to what extent did you want to be a kind of literary or literal representation of this novel?
Well, it's literal in the sense that every word of it is in the book, in the translation, in Susan Massadi's 2001 translation of the novel, which was originally published in Dutch in 1998. So I didn't change a single word. I didn't adapt the text. And that was a challenge for the piece because it's not a poetic text or a text that was intended, written in a way that was intended to be sung. It was it's exactly as you would read it in the book. So I wanted the piece to be a kind of companion to the novel in that way.
And what do you bring to it? What happens musically that doesn't happen when you read the book?
Well, I tried to give a kind of cinematic approach to the story, and to do that, I used voiceovers. So there's some texts that you hear a narrator speak in between the singing of the soprano. There's also quite a few field recordings that are references to the places in which the story is taking place at that time. So I wanted a sort of multi-layered a representation of the book through time. You know, when you read something, you experience the text through time, but that's also the way we experience music.
This is part of our trouble, isn't it, Sean, in trying to find an audience for new music, new compositions. I mean, you talk about yourself as a classically trained musician. So we think of classical. Technically, it's one very narrow period in time and place. But everybody hears the term and they've got an idea what they mean. And yet, that will also be narrow. It's a certain kind of, array of instruments and a certain kind of music. So if I say classical, everybody has a feeling of what it is. And I think what we don't understand well enough is that that was always evolving and looking at new technologies and new ways of presenting information. All those great composers were at the very edge of their technology and some of the cultural inspiration as well.
That's exactly right, Frank. And I mean, all of us who participate in New Music Raleigh are some of the most ardent just lovers and fans of the core classical repertoire of Brahms and Beethoven and Mozart and all of those. And that's most of what we do. But it's not, for us, it's not the end point for the way we should, our responsibility as a musician in our community. That's just our view of how we operate. The fact that John uses some techniques such as pre-recorded field recordings and text and such, and even just the instrumentation that supports this production certainly doesn't fall in line with Mozart's orchestra. And these are the types of parameters on classical music that we're trying to just take away and allow somebody like John, who wants to bring his sound, his voice, we want to create a place where that's possible. Now, the classical part of it is really comes down to the training and the way that we all understand each other's language. I mean, while there are many musicians from other genres that I respect and we work together with them quite a bit too, the common ground with John and with many other composers is the way that he kind of can deliver information to us. And then with this kind of understanding of the way that we are going to react to it and present it. And it really makes a production that is brand new come together on quite a fast scale after John has spent, you know, or any composer has spent maybe a course of a year trying to compose it. So,
well, let's hear another clip from All Souls to get a sample.
Of the ditch and repeats the shot which slows down a
That's a clip from John Supko's production of All Souls at Cam Raleigh, Monday at 7:30. John's here now. Do you feel that in any way, because Sean was talking about having a kind of a common language or a mode in which you can communicate to each other. Who is your audience? Who do you imagine listening?
Well, I often say that my first audience is myself, and I use the test that if I'm excited or motivated to continue writing this piece, and then I probably have something to say that might interest someone else. But I have to be passionate and interested first. But I think that the title "All Souls" although the novel makes reference to the religious feast day, it's not the main subject of the book or the piece. The commonality of the story, the elements of the story, this love story that has not so happy of an ending, depending the way you look at it. This universality of this kind of human interaction is probably the theme that I hope most communicates.
So you're working with a theme, you have an idea, you've got a language, we're using music. What about the technology? Because it seems to me you'd have so many choices if you didn't limit yourself with the amount of processing and technique mm-hmm. that you could use, the number of instruments, and again, just processing alone. Do you set limits for yourself going in, or do you say whatever comes to mind?
Well, I love limits and I love restrictions. Stravinsky said that inspiration is the composer's response to the exact requirements of the work. And thankfully, there were lots of restrictions. Some of them were imposed by the ensemble. They gave me a set instrumentation, which I finessed a little bit. I expanded a little bit, but for the most part, that really suggested something. You know, if someone tells you we'd like you to write a piece for tuba, harpsichord, and piccolo, already, you know, an idea of what you might do is present. So there's that, and the technological aspect was quite reduced in comparison to other things that I do with technology. I really wanted the story to be supported in the most straightforward way. So there was I use a Mac MSP patch to trigger the samples of the voiceovers and the field recordings, but beyond that, and we use a synthesizer with some pretty basic instrumental patches samples. But beyond that, it's a pretty straightforward intersection between the human musicians and the technology.
What, Sean, will we see on stage when we go to Cam Raleigh?
The instrumentation is a string quintet, which everybody's kind of comfortable with. This synthesizer, which is basically just, you know, your standard keyboard, but our instrumentalist Jesse has organized, you know, kind of a dynamic circumstance for moving from sound to sound during the composition. There's a harpist, there's a pianist, there's the soprano, and then there is a vast array of percussion instruments. Two of us will be playing, mostly grounded out by the role of the marimba and the vibraphone, but plenty of other drums, cymbals, and such.
John, do you write all of this out? Do you score it by hand? Because certainly these days you can play it all into your software and have it show up as notation. Which way do you go?
Well, from about the age of 10 until 24 or 5, I wrote everything out by hand. And then I started using the computer, and I found, you know, people have different opinions about using the computer and what effect that might have on the work itself. I look at everything as from the perspective of tools, you know, the computer is a tool that allows me to compose music in a way that would be inconvenient to do by hand. But that doesn't mean that, you know, I don't pick up the pencil and jot things down every so often. So
let's hear another clip.
Till Baskin names began to appear.
That's a clip from John Supko's production of All Souls, going to be at Cam Raleigh Monday at 7:30. So what's going on in that clip, John?
Well, this is the last movement, and what's happened is that Elik and Arthur have gone their separate ways. Arthur's had a change of heart. He's decided to come to Spain, where Elik is currently living, and to find her. And he's on the highway, and at the exit where for the road that will take him to the village she's living in, he makes a decision. That decision is to keep driving and not to take the exit and to pursue his life in another direction. So this is a kind of shocking moment in the book because you're expecting them to be reunited and it doesn't happen. And in the music, what happens at this moment is that there's a direct modulation to a different key. So at the moment that he decides not to take the exit, the harmony goes in a different direction, and that's where it ends.
You know, we talk about expectations in music. There had been this kind of genealogy from the Baroque to the classical and romantic and all those things, and people kind of knew what was going on, and then there were changes and sort of rebellions and all that. Is there the same genealogy? What happens to music today when we're so sort of broken up into our little boutiques? Do we follow along in the same way? Does John's music fall into a line, a genealogical line?
Sure, it does. If you know, like, kind of the history of how contemporary classical music has evolved through the composers of, like, you know, the early 20th century, late 20th century, and then how they relate to John. The American classical music, though, is something that has become a little bit of an issue, and as far as understanding what it is, even setting English is a challenge for some composers because of the fact that they can spend so much time studying other languages and how they're set. And it's, you know, getting past hurdles like this for American composers are something that I actually draw them all together to.
Well, I'm glad you're doing it and giving us the opportunity to hear it. Sean Galvin, curator for New Music Raleigh. John Supko, assistant professor of arts and sciences at Duke University and the creator of All Souls, which will be at Cam Raleigh Monday at 7:30. We have more information on that at our website, stateofthings.org. Thank you for listening to The State of Things. This is North Carolina Public Radio. It's a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.